thought that the Lord has given me to share is wait on the Lord. And when the Lord gave me this thought, I felt the need for Him to open it up to me, the importance of waiting on the Lord. So I trust the Lord will bless you as He blessed me. Let's start in Isaiah, the 40th chapter and 31st verse says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And so we want to think about how important it is to wait on the Lord. And there's great value in waiting on the Lord. I think sometimes, I don't know how others feel, but sometimes we might not realize that there is such value in just waiting on Him. Sometimes as human beings, we look at a situation and we kind of assess it and maybe even figure we know how to work with it. We know how to deal with it. I can say this and that'll help, or I can do that and it'll work it out. But there is a blessing and a help to us and a strength to us if we learn not to depend on ourselves, but on the Lord. So when we're waiting on the Lord, we're learning to trust Him. And many times it's not just trusting, we say we trust God, but we're trusting His wisdom and His guidance and His directions. And so I'm finding more and more the value of just leaning on Him and trusting Him for even the little things. Sometimes, we may have a financial situation and we figure, if I move this and move that and do this and do that, I got this. I can figure this out. But it's so good to whisper a prayer when we have these kind of things and say, "Lord, how should I handle this?" Sometimes it's not even just a financial, it may be a relationship situation. It might be in our homes, in our families, things, people that we feel comfortable with, that we feel like we know how to deal with, even our children. Sometimes, now, my children are grown, but I'm around my grandchildren a lot. And it takes wisdom from God how to handle them. Sometimes we say, "This is my child, and I can tell them how I feel. I can do this and I can do that." But if we whisper a prayer and trust God, He will give us just how to work with things. And so he that waiteth on the Lord, this scripture said, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's important to be able. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We want to be able to finish our course. We want to finish it with victory. But if we are in a habit of doing things our way, our way will lead us away from God's way. And so we don't want to do that. We want to just, no wonder the Lord Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is as a little child. You know how children are. They're dependent. They're not independent most times. They're dependent on us. They depend on our wisdom. They're dependent on our help. God wants us to be just like little children. Not think that we know everything and got it all together. But He wants us to just lean hard on Him. Psalms 27 and 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So wait on Him. Don't just try to do it your way or my way. Let's do it God's way. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. And I would appreciate if someone would get these scriptures and read them for me.
11 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire?
You see, we need to wait for the still small voice. The first thing that came was what?
A wind.
A wind.
Strong wind.
Now that might get your attention. Yeah. It would. You say, surely the Lord is in that.
Yes.
You know, and then the next was?
Earthquake.
Oh, nobody controls the earthquake but God.
That's
you
true.
Could really get fooled by that one.
Yes.
And then,
fire?
Now if the earthquake didn't get your attention, the fire would. He sent down fire. Elijah was used to that. This is Elijah. And the Lord has spoken to him. This is right after he was on Mount Carmel.
Yes.
And the fire had come down to burn up all the burnt offering and licked up the water and everything in the trench and everything. So surely this is God. But it wasn't. But then a still small voice. You see, God works like that. I've found it so. I want to tell you something. Back in July when we were in the Monarch meeting, and I had so felt burdened or so concerned about this meeting in Boley. But then I began to feel something's not, I shouldn't do this. And I just didn't, it was like, what should I do with this? I asked the ministers, I said, come pray with me about this. And I told them the circumstance. And so after that, I let it go, totally let it go. Just when I was in Honduras, in Rio Estevo, one morning I was sitting there, I think it was the morning, and the Lord spoke to me to go ahead. But it was that still, small voice. And then he explained to me how to do it. And I was thinking how that had I just gone on before, I might not have had God's approval, even though I desired to do it. Do you understand? This is the work of the Lord. Even in the work of the Lord, we can't just do it our way. We have to do it God's way. And he taught me a great lesson, how to just wait on him, how to let him direct. Even though I have a strong burden for the work of God, but I can't do it my way. And that's what I was concerned about. I didn't want to go forth in my way. I wanted to make sure God's way, or I didn't want to go ahead of him. And so such joy came in my heart. Such peace came in my heart. The meeting hasn't even gone yet, but I had such a joy and a peace in knowing that God is giving me direction. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes we might get excited about certain things and we want to do something about it. But let's wait on him. Let's not just go, you know, just go ahead, gung-ho, so to speak. So I just want you to encourage you how that we wait on the still small voice. Let's read on. Sometimes we can just go ahead of the Lord and mess up stuff. Do you know that if you have a problem, say in the family, and you just go out of your emotions, you can mess up things. You can hurt souls. Even sometimes people come around us, among us, we have to be careful how we address things. Maybe we feel like, you know, this ought not to be and that ought not to be true. It may not. But that don't mean it's for us to handle it. We need to be able to wait on the Lord dealing and showing us how to handle it or whether to handle it. Maybe that person you want to go to because you feel like they're all wrong and everything, maybe they can't handle it. Maybe we have to wait until he gives us direction. Or he may not even use us. He may want to use someone else. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. We want to make the end. That's the important thing. You know, there's steps along the way to make the end, but we want to, through our sister Georgette, finish our course. But if we are presumptuous and outspoken and just got to have it the way I think it should be, we might not make it. We may not make it all the way through. We can make things worse. I want us to look at Abraham. You see, Abraham listened to Sarah instead of waiting on the Lord to work. Let's go to Genesis 16, and let's read 1 through 6. And it presented a problem that he might not have had to deal with if he had just waited on the Lord. And you know, we have confidence in Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith, but he was human. He was human, and this is one thing they had to go through. He might not have had to go through. Or maybe God intended that way. I don't know. But we can learn from his what he did to wait on God instead of just doing things the human way. Someone get that? 16, Genesis 16 and 1.
He had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee.
You see, that presented a problem. That was a problem that didn't have to be. But she thought she had a good solution to the problem. Instead of waiting on the Lord, I haven't been able to bear you no children. So take my handmaid. You got it now. But it presented a serious problem. And even later on, it presented a problem. So we want to be careful not to just do things because we think we should. But let's wait on God to give us the answer to what to do. Some people get the wrong companion by not waiting on the Lord. They do. And they have to suffer sometimes things that wouldn't have to suffer if they could wait on the Lord. I was thinking about myself. I was 17 years old, and I found myself really love somebody. The person that I loved for so long was not the one for me. But that was what I wanted. God had mercy on me and didn't let it happen. But what if it did? What if everything worked out the way I wanted it to work out? You see, we need, even as young people, and I know it's hard. I've been there. I was 35 years old when I got married. And I saw all my friends and everything. They were getting married, and they had their husbands and their families. And I wanted a companion. I'm not ashamed to say that. I prayed, and I told the Lord, I want a companion, and I wanted children. And the Lord heard my prayer, and he told me that I was going to marry somebody with children. And with that, I thought, well, I'm not going to have any, but I'm going to marry somebody with children. Well, most of you know the rest of the story. But the thing is, wait on the Lord. Sometimes it seems like the Lord is slow, but he's not. His timing is not our timing. He works things in a perfect way. We just can see so much, but he sees things we don't see. And so let's go to Judges 14. This is Samson, verses 1 and 2. Now, I realize that God had a plan for Samson to be used to because of the Philistines. He wanted to, to have him fight against him in a sense. But I look at the fact that Samson wanted Delilah. Somebody get that and read it. 14.
And Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised? And Samson said unto his father, she pleases me well.
And you know the rest of the story. Delilah was his demise. And many times, people, yeah, he had to have her. But in the long run, yes, he was fighting against the Philistines. That's true. But he died with the Philistines. And had he listened to his father and mother, he wouldn't have probably gone through all of that. So many people have been like that. They felt like they had to have a certain people. Sometimes we have in our mind how, and this is to, we have just a couple of young people here, but we have in our mind, I want somebody that's tall, dark, and handsome. Or I want somebody that's little, thin. Or I want somebody that's educated. You know, I got my degree, so I want somebody that has a degree. I don't want somebody that's barely finished high school, that kind of stuff. We have all kinds of things in our head exactly of how we want, who we want as a companion. But we need to turn that loose and wait on the Lord. And let him choose whoever you got. May not be tall, dark, and handsome. They may be short and fat, you know. they may split verbs so bad you can't hardly understand them. But God knows just who we need. So we suffer many sorrows when we don't wait on the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs 10 and 22. Wait on the Lord. We won't have any regrets. We will not have regrets. But if we put our hands to things that God didn't have us to do, we're going to have some regrets. 10 and 22.
Blessed of the Lord, it maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow with it.
That's right. So when we wait on the Lord, he will bless, and there will be no sorrow with it. But on the other hand, if we don't, we're going to have sorrow, and we're going to have a lot of heartaches and a lot of disappointments. And if we get the wrong companion, it will be against us spiritually. The wrong companion, well, God can work. But the wrong companion can lead you away from God and away from the spiritual life that he's helped you to have. So we need someone that will build us up, and we build them up instead of tearing us down. Some people, when you're around them, they may look all nice and everything, but when you get to live with them, they can break you down. They can tear you down. by the things they say and the attitudes they have and the values that they have. So I want us to be encouraged. Those that are not married, those that are married, you know, sometimes we have to deal with whatever we have. And God is there for us. But we can learn from our mistakes and other people's mistakes. And not only in the line of getting married and having children and having a family, but in other decisions of life. We can learn. We can look and see how people have done things their way and they've made disaster of their lives and maybe others' lives and profit by that, by waiting on the Lord. Some divorces come because people have not waited on the Lord. They feel like, I can handle this. I can say what I want to say. Get upset with that companion, and they don't please you. You might call them a little boy. You ain't nothing but a little boy. Those kind of things are not good. So we need to just wait on the Lord. Calm our spirit and trust in Him for the words we say, for the attitudes we have, for the things we do. Let us wait on the Lord. 1 Samuel 13. One, look at how that God sometimes allows things to make us wait on Him, to show us what's in us. You know, we can learn from these things. If He doesn't come right now and He makes us wait, He may be trying to get something across to us to help us to see our own ways and our own personalities and faults in our own character that He wants to develop and He wants to help us with. And here, let's look at Saul. Somebody get it. 13:5, 1 Samuel.
The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and people as the same, which is on the seashore. And they came up and pitched the Michmash eastward from Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, they just hide themselves in caves. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad, Gilead, and Saul. He was yet in Gilgal. Bring hither a burnt offering to me. And it came to pass that he had made it. And Saul went out to meet him, gathered it from him. And that thou camest not within the days appointed. On Gilgal. And I have not made supplication for a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now, because thou hast not kept that which.
You see what happened? Saul didn't wait on the Lord. The Lord was going, Samuel was to come, but since Samuel didn't come, he saw the people scattering from him, and he got afraid, and he said he forced himself. Hardly do I believe he really forced himself. He did it because, I need help. Samuel's not here, so bring me. What did he look like offering the sacrifice? He was not delegated to do that. He went in an area that he was not supposed to go. Some people, they try to take things in their hands without waiting on the Lord and letting the one that God put responsible to do it. But so he did. And if you'll notice, he failed later on. It was something in his character. If he could have realized, instead of if he could have said, I am wrong, I am sorry, ask God to forgive me, and then stop going over and doing things his way. But his way caused his destruction, and our way will cause our destruction. We need to learn. It's so important to wait on the Lord, not try to do things our way. Let's go to 2 Samuel 2:1. We want to be conquerors. We want to fulfill the mission God's given us. We want to finish our course with joy. And in order to do that, we must learn to to wait on God, not to just go ahead and do things our way. 2 Samuel 2 and 1.
And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron.
The point is, David waited on the Lord. He didn't go on his own. He was the king. He could have decided, I'm the king, and I'm going after these people. I'm doing this. But he didn't. He waited and found out what God wanted him to do. And when he did, it was successful. Now, let's go to 2 Samuel 5 and 19.
And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? The Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into thine hand.
Okay, these are two examples of how David waited on the Lord, trusted him, and not just used his authority to just go on and do what he felt he should do. Now, in one of them, I can't tell you, maybe it was the other one. His wife, they had been gone, and when they came back, him and his men, their wives, their children, their town was burned. And instead of him saying, I'm going to get these people and get my stuff back, he waited on the Lord to find out if he wanted them to go. So I want to encourage you. Let's just wait on the Lord. Let's trust in him. Stand on his word. It's many more scriptures, several more I could share, but I want us to think about it. It's not about us. You know, sometimes we can think our brother Michael had a message about it's not about us or not about me. It's not about us. It's about God and what he would have us to do. So let's just wait on him and trust him to lead us and guide us and help us through life. Pray for me.